and how I'd plug myself into God. It's a wonderful mental image when things aren't going the way you would like them to go. Just unplug yourself from the laws of the physical, especially where there's disharmony, disorder, disease, and plug into God. And what you do when you plug into God is you bring love, you bring pardon, you bring hope, you bring joy, you bring fulfillment to that, and you correct the error, and it's gone. I had a friend who was diagnosed with cancer and told that she had just 2 months to live. And she knew that she was in disharmony. And she didn't even tell her parents. She didn't tell anyone. She knew what she had to do. She had read all the spiritual literature. She had immersed herself in meditation and deep prayer. But still, she was surrounded by and contaminated by the energy field of those who were living in fear and without faith. And she left and she rented a cabin up in Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin. And she went there all alone. And in the process, what she knew she had to do for 8 to 10 hours a day, every day, was to just reconnect to her source. And in the process of doing this, of just communing with God, and just bringing peace, she came back from there a cleansed and whole person, and a healed person as well. It is in the bringing of spirit to disease. And that's why I say and said to you at the very beginning, you must be operating at a different level. The fourth archetype that Jung spoke about is called the archetype of the spirit. And the archetype of the spirit is the archetype where we begin to understand who we are, that this is not our home, that we are not these bodies, that we can become the witness to them, that there is something that transcends this physical world, and it is that which gives life. It is the spirit that gives life. As St. Paul put it, that which is seen hath not come from that which doth appear. The source of everything in the physical world is not in the physical world. It's in the world of spirit. So it's athlete, warrior, statesman, spirit. And ultimately you begin to have an awareness. And when they were introducing me, I heard the gentleman say that he describes himself as an infinite soul disguised as a teacher, as a husband, as a father. But it is a disguise. Because I know that I am not a human being having a spiritual experience. I have finally come to know the truth, which is the reverse. That I, like you, am a spiritual being having a human experience. And as a spiritual being, I can look at and observe and notice my body and the whole material world. And I know that there's an energy that flows through all of it, and that I'm connected to all of that. I said that I would like to talk about the three levels of consciousness, A being individual consciousness or ego consciousness. And I said that there are two people inside each and every one of us. The first one is the ego. The second person inside each and every one of us is what I call the sacred or the higher self. And this sacred or higher self really doesn't care whether we win or lose or how much we get or who we're better than or how much we have. It's not interested in that. This part of us that lives in every single one of us only wants one thing. It wants us to be at peace. At peace. And it wants to choose peace. As it says in the Course in Miracles, I can choose peace rather than this. I remind myself that every day when I drive my children to school in the morning and they're fighting over who called shotgun and who gets to sit in the front and who gets to push the buttons and who listens to the rap music and who's that, daddy's my turn this time, not, and they're going back and forth, and I just remind them, I can choose peace rather than this. And I say, look out, or I'm going to push my button. And they say, okay, okay, okay. They don't want to hear that crappy music or whatever. The ability to choose peace. One of the selections that was most profound in my life that I wrote an essay about for 60 Days to Enlightenment in Wisdom of the Ages was from Rabindranath Tagore, the great Indian poet, from a selection called the Gitanjali, which won the Nobel Prize for Poetry and Literature in 1927. He said, I went out alone on my way to my tryst, but who is this me in the dark? I step aside to avoid his presence, but I escape him not. He makes the dust rise from the earth with his swagger. He adds his loud voice to every word I utter. He is my own little self, my lord. He knows no shame, but I am ashamed to come to thy door in his company. The ego just wants to be right. The higher self wants to be kind, wants to be at peace. And if you can just begin to shift that, just ask yourself, as what I'm about to say, I always tell people this in counseling groups and so on, that there are four words, that if you learn these four words, they'll eliminate all conflict in all of your relationships. These four words are, you're right about that. No matter what it is somebody says to you, you give them that. You're right about that. Someone says, you know, you're really a jerk. Say, you know, you're right about that. Because that doesn't make somebody right. She'll say something to me, you know, you were supposed to be home at 7:15 and it's now 6:30. There was a time when I used to say, wait a minute, you're not my mother. I don't have to explain to you when I come home. I'm the one that's out working. And who do you think supports, who do you think buys all these groceries? You know, there's a whole, all that ego stuff that was a part of my life. You've all heard those before, right? Now I just simply say, you know, honey. She said, don't hold those four fingers up. I hate it when you do that. Now I notice she holds the four fingers up, but she's doing it one at a time. She's going like, you know. But it's the idea that just as you're about to respond to somebody, instead of saying, well, I need to be right and I need to prove myself, I'm just going to stop. And just, I am no longer. And every single person that operates at these higher levels that I'm describing here tonight, that I've known, they have no need to be in charge, to be right, to be dominant, to be in, they allow themselves to realize, as you know, the story of Buddha, when he had someone following him around for 3 days, and all they ever did was criticize him and find fault with him all the time. Everything he said, everything he did, they found, and always what would come out of him would be this peace and this love. And finally, after 3 days, the man who was criticizing him said, I don't understand. I've done nothing but insult you for 3 days and make a fool of you, and you always respond with kindness and love. He said, how can you do that? And the Buddha said these magical words. When someone offers you a gift and you don't accept that gift, to whom does the gift belong? So if someone offers you a gift of their anger, their hatred, their insults, but you don't accept it, who owns the gift? And why would you go around being upset about something that belongs to someone else? It's not yours in the first place. That's a higher level of awareness. That's being able to choose peace. And I've often said that the person that you're the closest to in your life is not the person that agrees with you on everything. In fact, your soulmate is very often a person that you find you're in most disagreement with, you have a great deal of difficulty with. I say your soulmate often is the one you can hardly stand sometimes. They're your greatest teacher. I think in any relationship in which two people agree on everything, one of them is unnecessary. I know in my own life, the people who can push buttons and send me into a frenzy are the people who are my greatest teachers. And why are they my greatest teachers? Because they teach me that I have not yet mastered myself. I don't know how to choose peace in these instances. I'm not in charge of myself yet. If anybody out there can push that button and send me into that place, I am still operating at ego consciousness. And my wife is very good at that. Any one of you can say anything to me, and I can say, you know, thank you for sharing. I'll really work on that. But if she says it, there's something about the way she does it, something about And it's all these years and all these children, and still she knows how to exactly push it. And I thought, and I'll stop myself and say, you know, you still don't have it. You're still not. She's my teacher. I remember once saying to her that, honey, would you love me if I wasn't Wayne Dyer? If I didn't have the ability to take you to all the places we've gone to and buy you all the nice things and do all the wonderful things we can do in our life? She said, you call yourself a spiritual teacher? And you could ask me such a question? Right away, I started going from blissed to pissed, all right? I said, well, I was just wondering if I was just Joe Sixpack. And I was just bringing home, you know, a meager salary, and we were struggling from week to week trying to, you know, not have any month left at the end of the money. If that's who I was, would you? She said, you think I love you because of what you can do for me, what you can buy for me? She said, that's an insult. She said, I love you for who you are. I always have, and I always will. I don't love you for what you can do for me. I said, that's just what I wanted to know. She said, I would miss you.